It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And joining us this morning from Harvell & Collins is Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, first of all, happy holiday.
Yeah, and good. Absolutely. I'm glad y'all had a good Memorial Day weekend.
We did, and it's good to be back now at work. Ben, we talked last week about the duty that is owed to a landowner, to persons who may be on their property. And there are two classes of categories of persons that can come onto our property. And they are either there by permission or they are a trespasser. So persons that are lawfully on the premises is one category. Persons who are unlawfully on our premises. And so the law then evolves from there as to what the duties are of the landowner to these particular persons or companies or entities that happen to be on one's property. And, of course, it also, you know, it can be residential property like a home or a cottage at the beach. It can also be commercial property like, for instance, here we are today at your radio station in a commercial building. So now today we're going to talk about a lot, because the devil's in the details, Ben.
Always.
And we're going to talk about some very specific examples, right, Wes?
That's right.
Yes. Because I think you had mentioned how the law has revised, too, over the years.
Yeah, it changed in 1998 or 1999, where there were three different types of folks coming upon your property. And that was really just boiled down into two, trespassers and non-trespassers. Basic duties basically being that for a trespasser, you really have very little duty to keep your property safe. You just don't need to be willful and wanton and purposeful and intentional with regard to your acts.
Traps.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And as far as folks who do have the right to come on your property and are those the non-trespassers, then you have to act reasonably with regard to maintaining your property, making it safe, and in the event that there's a condition that you can't really make safe, you have to warn with regard to that if there was, you know, just something that is inherent to the property. So, you know, you would anticipate, Ben, as well, that in this area there's tons of case law on these different issues. I mean, we know about the slip and fall cases, and we know about the trip and fall cases, and we know about the you know, situations where people have slipped on ice, or you know, these type of things that really fall into this premises liability category.
Right.
So we are going to talk today about some specific conditions that we deal with and how our courts have dealt with that and what they've looked at. Probably the best place to start with regard to that is the slip and fall type situation, like on a slippery substance. And, you know, normally this is something like at a, you know, we hear of the cases at the, you know, the commercial store of some sort, the shopping mall, the shopping store, the retail outlet, that kind of thing. So one of the things we look at that's very important and directs us as to how do we analyze these type situations is who created the substance. You know, was it an employee of the defendant, the store owner?
Right.
Or was it the person who fell? Or was it some third party? So basically, let's start with if the substance was created by the defendant, that's like, let's say you mop the floor, wax the floor, do that kind of thing. Well, you need to do that to maintain your property.
Right.
And it's going to make it slippery. So what do you do about it? I bet just about everybody knows.
You put out a little sign.
There you go. Because we've all walked through McDonald's and seen the little yellow signs with the
some of them
slippery when wet.
Or, permanently there.
That's right. That's right. So basically what our courts say with regard to that is that, you know, when we've created this condition and it's, you know, necessary with regard to maintaining the property, then we have a duty to take reasonable measures to protect the plaintiff, placing warning sign or placing barricades. I had a case in particular that was directly on point with that, where I had a client who was in a particular restaurant, and the person fell and broke her shoulder and ended up having to have surgery, was injured significantly, and there were warning signs, so on and so forth. But what was determined that caused the slippery condition that was really excessively slippery was the same mop that was being used to clean up the French fry grease off the floor was also being used to clean up the dining room.
So it just transferred grease.
Right. Yes. And it was a very slippery situation. So that took it outside of just the duty to warn, mm-hmm. because it's unreasonable to not just have two mops.
Right.
You know, use your dining room mop to get the dirt off the floor, mm-hmm. and use your kitchen mop and probably clean it a lot. To get the grease, you know, off the floor from the French fries or whatever you're frying.
I was in a restaurant yesterday and saw a guy knock over a glass of water and ice
right.
onto the floor. And then actually he walked away,
right.
from it. He was going to pay his bill. Other people were sitting there. They didn't react very quickly. And I saw a couple of staff members walking through this at the time. And I thought, this could be dangerous. And eventually
right.
they were getting to it. But,
right. It's really interesting how hypersensitive our society is about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all heard these cases before. So, you know, that's a perfect situation. You know, that really would, again, lead to an analysis based on, you know, slip and fall, third party causes the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the issue? The issue
right.
is whether the owner of the property has reasonable notice
mm-hmm.
of the condition and
mm-hmm.
whether they acted reasonably with regard to, you know, cleaning that up.
Yeah.
So in the very unlikely event that the person spills the water with ice in it, and then there you are as a witness, and you see
right.
several people working there, walk right through it, probably clearly see it, I
uh-huh.
guess. I don't know.
And
then someone comes along, a patron,
mm-hmm.
and slips and falls. You probably got a case that makes it to the jury there, because
mm-hmm.
there may be an issue about whether the owner's agents, the employees, knew or should have known of
right.
the danger and just didn't act appropriately.
Act on it, yes.
So, but in general, I think the direction that employees are given with regard to that is that if there is something that's spilled, if there is a condition, you need to clean it up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just where these cases have basically taken us, because when we're talking about a dangerous condition, a slippery substance, the ice on the floor,
mm-hmm.
Something that's spilled on the floor, these kind of things, then, you know, the direction that the employees are given is that you need to address it
okay.
right away.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
the issue is notice, whether you know about it or don't know about it within reason. So it's about, you know, actual knowledge or constructive knowledge as far as that goes. And, you know, one of the issues we look at with regard to that our cases tell us is, you know, how long was this substance on the floor? You know, if it was there just momentarily, then
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be any liability of, you know, the defendant. But if it was there for a long period of time and there wasn't anything that was done about it and someone falls us
yeah.
on it, then that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of the ABCs with regard to your slip and fall cases.
Yes.
Those are cases like things on the floor, of course. Then we have what's called the trip and fall cases. This
mm-hmm.
is like when you have a fixed object. And that's like stepping into a crack or tripping over a brick or something like that. And the issue with regard to that is really not notice, because everybody normally can see the condition
mm-hmm.
and the property owner normally knows what the condition is. And you know, you really just have to give, you know, reasonable notice with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that might not be open and obvious. But if it's something that's that can't be changed, it's not movable, and it's open and obvious, then you're probably not going to have a claim as a plaintiff for that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So as the property owner, the best thing to do with that type of situation is to give notice, have a sign, something like that, if it's not open and obvious. If it's open
right.
and obvious, then you know there's no duty to do that. We
mm-hmm.
don't have a whole lot of cases in North Carolina on trip and fall on immovable objects, because the standard is pretty difficult there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with a case in particular on that type situation where a lady was, this is a local situation, a lady was walking in to an event at someone's home,
mm-hmm.
and she was carrying flowers, and she hit her foot on the little lip that sometimes you see by a garage.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And why do we have that little lip there? To keep water out of the garage.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, because she was holding the flowers, she didn't see the lip. She hit her foot on it. She fell down and injured her shoulder pretty severely to the point where she had to have surgery. Well, that would not be liability on behalf of the property owner because it was open and obvious,
mm-hmm.
because it's a typical situation, because it's to code, building code. We'll talk mm-hmm. about building code in a minute. And there's really no duty to warn with regard to that.
Right.
And also...
That was what we call an accident.
That's an accident.
That's an accident.
That's what we call an accident.
Some things are just accidents.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
All right. We'll have more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. You can call in with your questions at 800-818-2255 or these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. You can call them and make an appointment at 726-9050, but you can also call in and ask your question. And Barbara from Moorhead City has done that. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. How can we help you?
On this wonderful cloudy day.
Yes.
I have a question regarding the fact that today everyone has a cell phone in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're tripping and falling constantly. How? Who's responsible for that if you're the one with the cell phone and there's an object in front of you? Is this just creating a whole new set of cases for attorneys?
Yeah. Are you seeing any of that yet?
First of all, hello there, Barbara.
Good morning.
I recognize your wonderful voice.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay. Wes.
Yeah. You know, it does. It's an interesting situation. I don't think that we have a case, you know, directly on point in premises liability as it relates to cell phones. I mean, my goodness, I think that we have lots of cases with regard to traffic accidents as a result of texting or mm-hmm. being on the phone, looking at the phone, so on and so forth when you're driving. It really kind of cuts both ways. And let me tell you why I say that. I mean, you would think that if someone is looking at their phone and should have been paying more attention, then they get hurt. Then you would think that, well, maybe you don't have a claim because you shouldn't have been looking at your phone.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So one way that cuts is that North Carolina is a contributory negligence state.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what that means is if this plaintiff is just a scintilla, 1% negligent, and the negligence of this plaintiff contributed to their harm, then in North Carolina, you cannot recover. You cannot have a claim against a defendant where you can recover if you are that 1% negligent. So it would really be fact dependent. But I'm thinking if someone is walking down the sidewalk and they don't see the rise in the sidewalk that's 2 inches that probably shouldn't be there and should be smoother.
Right.
But the reason they don't see it is because they're so intently looking at their Facebook or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
then I think that there's a pretty good argument there of contributory negligence, because if you're walking down the sidewalk is probably next to a road, you probably need to keep a lookout about things that are going on around you. However,
yeah.
The other side of that would be that we do have some cases in North Carolina about this sidewalk situation. I'll keep it in that context,
mm-hmm.
where the issue is whether the walker should have seen the defective condition in the sidewalk. And in that particular case, there were limbs right over the area where the defective condition was located.
Mm-hmm.
So the court basically determined that, well, yes, this person could have been distracted and not seen the unsafe condition in the sidewalk because she was trying to maneuver around these limbs. She hits the sidewalk with her foot. She falls.
Yeah.
That is the limbs, though, are a condition that were not caused by the person who is falling,
mm-hmm.
the walker. The looking at your cell phone is. So I would say that if you're walking around the state of North Carolina looking at that cell phone and you get hurt because of someone else's issue, then because you're in North Carolina, you're probably going to have a contributory negligence defense that you're going to have to get by. And it's probably going to be a pretty steep one depending on what the facts are in the case.
I've sat at a little cafe table drinking a cup of coffee and watched somebody on their cell phone come and trip over the sign that, you know, the little sandwich board sign that says, you know, what the specials of the day are.
Right.
Because they were walking along a sidewalk and, you know, in a straight line, but they were looking at their phone and tripped over that sign.
Right. So I think that's the analysis on that. That's a great question, Barbara, and thank you for your call.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you.
An area of law, I would imagine, that just fills the courts with all kinds of claims every now and then.
Well, there's no question about that, Ben. And I can't help but think about Barbara's question. You know, really all of this is going to come down to, you know, that reasonable man standard, that reasonable person standard. Mm-hmm. What do we expect a reasonable person to do under all of the circumstances? During the break, you mentioned your porch being repaired, your entrance to your garage, really. You know, what would a reasonable person do while that wood is being cured, et cetera? The details are there in the cases, but if you look beyond the details, you see that in each case, if there's liability, usually it can be said that person did not particularly act reasonably. As a reasonable, I mean, you know, if something's been spilt and it's been spilt for several hours, that's just not reasonable in a commercial establishment.
Lots of good questions here. We're going to come take a short break. We'll come back with more and finish out the show here this morning here on the Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal. Your questions are welcome as well at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. We're talking about premise liability.
So we talked about stairways a little bit as well. I mean, this is an interesting situation because a lot of times when you're dealing with a stairway case and you're dealing with someone who falls down a stairway or trips on a stairway, then we're dealing with the North Carolina State Building Code. And the basic law with regard to that is that in the event that a stairway or really anything would be inconsistent with the requirements of the building code, then that's seen as negligence per se. You really are supposed to maintain your property, you know, consistent with the building code. Now, you do get into issues as it relates to, you know, when were the stairs put in and what was the code at the time and did it apply at that point in time. And then in the event that you do have, let's say, a stairway that is not consistent with the current building code and it may be a danger, then that raises an issue about whether you need to warn about it. Are the risers and the treads themselves, are they all consistent? Are every one of them 8 inches? Or all of a sudden we've got one at the top or the bottom that's only 4 inches or one that's 9 inches? You know, that raises an issue as well. So, you know, with regard to these building code issues, you know, steps and stairways, you know, fall into that category a lot. Also, railings, you know, when we have these raised porches or any type of porch at all, then you know, you're talking about railings that are required around the porches. You know, there's in certain situations you can have seats around them, but nevertheless, the railings have to be 36 inches. And in the event that they're not and someone is hurt, then there would be, you know, as a result of the railings, falling over the railing, for example, then that would be a significant issue that the defendant would have there. I mean, if you've got a railing that's 35.5 inches and someone leans over and falls and gets seriously hurt, then believe me, the plaintiff's attorney is going to go measure the height of those railings.
Yes.
And they're going to determine it's 35.5 inches. That is negligence. And, you know, hopefully you have a good homeowner's insurance to cover that, you know, because those cases are pretty black and white when you get into something like that. So You know, the stairway cases are interesting. The building code cases are interesting. Building code is very significant when we're dealing with this. I know we only have two or three minutes left. We do get into these issues with regard to the condition of the sidewalk. We did mention that when Barbara called as it relates to the tree case.
Yeah, and I know a lot of historic areas where the sidewalk is a lot of limbs, for example, you mentioned are going over top of them. You got to be careful about that.
That's correct. And, you know, as we walk around sidewalks now, I don't think it was quite this way when we were walking about around the municipal sidewalk years ago. You can see where those edges are now ground down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk around Beaufort, they're ground down all over the place. Morehead City, they're ground down. Raleigh, they're ground down. So it's nice and smooth. But basically, our cases indicate that just because there may be an uneven sidewalk, that doesn't mean that that is negligence. And we have some specific cases. There was a case out of High Point in 1976 that said that a sidewalk irregularity of 1 to 2 inches is not negligence. And they came out black and white and said it wasn't. There was a case in 1962. This was a case where it indicated that a difference of 1.6 inches in the sidewalk level was not negligence as well. So, you know, if you start getting into that 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch drop, and we might get into a little bit of a different issue. If you get into a situation where you've got not just a drop between one section of sidewalk and the next, but maybe it's cracked a lot and just deteriorated, then that might be another issue. But, you know, you have to have those expansion joints in the sidewalk. I mean, and between those expansion joints, sometimes there's roots underneath them, or there's something that is making them grow, you know, go up one side or the other or go down, and therefore you get this drop. So it's difficult to maintain that. So our courts have indicated that just because you fall on a lip on the sidewalk doesn't mean there's negligence.
As you said, sometimes it's just an accident.
That's right.
Things are just accidents. It,
like we were talking about earlier with the lady falling on the lip going into the garage. Well, if that's a half inch little lip to keep water out, or 3/4 inch, fine. If it ends up being 3 or 4 inches, horse of a different color.
Yeah.
So you have to really look closely at the facts on all these cases as well.
Again, that reasonable standard still has to be maintained in one way or another. And again, I would imagine you have a whole other set, too, when you're talking about easements and the kind of premise liability you might have there.
Easements, we can get it. We can talk a little bit more next week about, like, lighting and these kind of things, assaults on someone's property, keeping your property safe, like the cases where there's bars and those kind of things, having the right amount of security personnel there. We can get into a little bit of that next week.
Okay, more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak, but more next week on premise liability as well, too. I hope you'll join us then. But as always, if you want to get in touch with Harvell and Collins, you can give them a call at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street.